It's the Guy Code Podcast with Ryan and Ryan. Today, we're welcoming Nessa.
Yes. Hi, guys.
Straight out of the Bay.
I know. I'm so happy to be here. It's like a boys club right now.
It's a boys and girl club.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
I'm happy you're here. I'm pretty nervous.
Right out of the gate, I got to say, Ryan gave me false info. He said he grew up in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And I was talking to her. Ryan, you were way off. I thought you knew her.
You told me you grew up in the Bay.
I did not grow up in the Bay, but now technically since I've been there for 9 years, I can say I'm from the Bay, but originally I was like raised in Southern California, LA, Orange County. What's up, Orange County?
She represents Lakers.
I do remember that.
Yeah. It's okay. Guys always forget. Just so you know, Ryan.
Okay.
Ryan always forgets. He's always like, oh, I'm going to call you. Oh, I'm going to FaceTime you. Doesn't
happen. This is how the day is going to go.
Yeah.
We're going to be having a nice conversation, and then Ness is going to pull the rug out from underneath me.
And remind you of how you always forget about
everything.
What's your
deal, Ryan? Why are you always blowing off Ness?
I'm not.
He always does.
I'm not.
He does. Oh, my God.
True. The funny thing about girls in general, they forget that the telephone works both ways. And that the text message works both ways.
No.
Email.
I know I texted you and you did not get back to me. But I just think that's just you being busy. And now that you're Hollywood, I mean, look at your sweater. You have hate written on it.
It's a total Hollywood sweater.
It's pink hate. He's got pink hate on his sweater. I get it. You're Hollywood now. Ryan, does he act different with you now?
No.
Oh, well, that's
Thank
good.
You. Thanks, Ryan.
Oh, Ryan's okay. United.
I'm working. But, you know, I met him when he was already pretty Hollywood, so maybe that's why.
Maybe that's what it is.
I'm just working for you.
Oh.
I'm out in these streets. I'm writing.
Yeah, that's
pitching
why.
Ideas.
That's why you forced me.
Why are you writing on the
agent?
Streets?
Because I'm out of paper, man. Yeah. I don't know. I got no idea.
You have an office. He's out, right? He's a street writer.
I'm a street writer.
He likes something. To get real with the people.
I don't know.
Oh, get real.
Well,
I like to get
all
real.
All that's important is you're here. I'm excited you're here. I'm scared because you get paid to talk.
Yes.
Whereas Ryan and I found out a void for us to fill and like kind of be hosts.
You guys are doing a great
job. Best. Have you ever listened
I
to
appreciate
us?
It.
Not all the way.
Not all the way.
Not all the way.
But there's a reason behind that because Ryan, you know how much I work.
I know you do.
That's the only reason why.
I just hope that by the time this podcast is over, you've left us in a better place and we've learned
how to broadcast as professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you guys are professionals. Look at you guys. The way you guys are already holding the mic is a good sign, you know.
And we've been made fun of how we hold the mic before in this podcast. So
really?
Already, I guess we've improved.
Wow, mm-hmm. What haters.
Yeah, I know. I hold it like a melting ice cream cone sometimes.
Whoa.
Which is weird.
You have your pinky sticking out.
Yeah, it's because I'm proper.
It's that real Hollywood shit right there.
It's real Hollywood.
That right there, the pinky out is Hollywood. It's real Hollywood. Well, hey, guys.
Anyways, since I forgot that you grew up in Orange County.
Yes.
How long did you even live down there? You're from the West Coast. I'm just going to say that in general.
Yeah. Oh, man. I lived there. I moved out there 11 and a half, 12. I remember 11 or 10. One of those. I
remember
because Tupac died.
You can't
remember. Because Tupac died. It was 96, and I remember moving out there, and I lived in Orange County.
Is that how you traced your timeline through hip-hop history?
With Tupac
major events.
I realized Tupac
died. It was before Tupac and after Tupac.
Yes. And the Honey video for Mariah Carey came out around that same time, which I love. I'm a lamb.
I'm a huge fan.
I love Mariah
Shout
Carey.
Out Mariah.
I'm a lamb. I'm signed up on her website and everything. I get all her mailing, like list stuff and all that cool stuff. I love Mariah. And so I lived there for a while. Well, actually, Santa Monica and Orange County, a little bit of LA. And then I moved up to the Bay to go to school, UC Berkeley, and I've been there ever since. And, you know, I do radio out there mm-hmm. a while, and now all the radio stations. And so I'm just happy to be in your guys' presence, Ryan and Ryan, because apparently this is where it's at.
Apparently.
Out here in New York with Ryan and Ryan.
In the MTV conference room.
Yes.
I didn't realize you went to Berkeley, so you're smart.
Yeah. And you want to know what's
talented.
Even worse?
Which
and I'm not even trying to brag. I graduated at 20. Like a
Damn.
Super geek. Like I was Regents and Chancellors scholarship and mm-hmm. all that, like academic scholarship and stuff. What a geek.
Are your parents together?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. Were they like the Egyptian equivalent of tiger moms?
No, you know what? My parents didn't really understand anything. in general, except like, hey, go to school. Like, well, my mom was like, Nissa, go to school and, you know, get the job. My dad was like the same way. They never really tripped on me. They just wanted me to finish school. But they, my dad is like a hustler. Like, he moved to America with like $200 with his best friend between the two. And they made their dreams come true. So I figured I can't really make an excuse of my life.
You will.
No, but I think you will. It does seem like a lot of first generation Americans have that kind of pressure from their parents because they'll move and be working class, but then they work really hard to make sure that you get educated and aren't like, don't have to go through the same stuff.
Dude, they worked so hard. My dad worked so hard. My dad had like 3 jobs when he came out to the US, 4, like security guard, and he had to get his credits from Egypt transferred at UCLA so it could be equivalent to like American degrees and whatever. But like, they just worked really hard. So every time I think I'm working hard, I just remember of my parents. Like, my mom used to clean up hotels. Like, she was, you know, and even though she is a scientist, they wouldn't give her a job because she was supposedly overqualified. It's really because they have an accent. So that's been the excuse that I've heard.
Which is terrifying for where I grew up.
Where did you grow up?
Because people with accents.
Oh, yes.
You know. They're terrorists, I'll just say it.
Well, you know us.
You know. If they don't have a redneck accent, they're terrorists.
Yeah, because...
There's one type of accent.
The good kind. The good.
It's called the right one.
I think I'm more scared of a redneck accent than anything in this both. World.
You and me both.
That, like, right when I hear that, I'm like, okay, gotta go. Let's walk away. Let's go the other way, guys.
I think you are a hustler, though, and I think... You probably got that from your parents.
Totally. Like, absolutely. They're the coolest on earth. My mom is like such a family chick, which is weird because like, I don't see myself being like her in a sense. Like, she gave up her whole life to be with her kids. Like, she didn't want to, you know, obviously work as much. She wanted to raise a kid. She's a scientist. She knows like 5 different languages, German, French, Arabic, English, Spanish, some shit.
Redneck.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I don't
Spanish
know.
Spanish some shit? What's like, Spanish some shit?
It's like she knows everything, and I hate it because she reminds me. And like, if you come over to the house, she'll feed you and tell you all of her accomplishments in life.
I want
to
hear them. Like, let's do this.
Nissa, I could have gone to medical school, but I had your brother. And I was like, Mom, I know. You told me I had no shoes. We used to walk in the snow. It snowed in Egypt? Yes. And I was like, all right. But, you know, they worked hard, and we didn't have to walk in the snow in California because we don't have any snow. No. But, like, I could say I had a pretty good life. I mean, before I moved to California, I lived in Saudi Arabia. Because my dad's, I did. My dad's job transferred from Watts, California, to out there. And I was out there during the Gulf War in, like, 91. Wow. I was, like, 5. And so... You know, I remember that those are like my beginning memories is like war. And so moving to California and like seeing gangs and Bloods and Crips fight always confused me because they were fighting over that while we were fighting for our lives, like oil and, you know, real war going on. So it was a different life. It was weird. Like, I had no idea how like American things worked at that time. It was weird. I like listened to music. I used to get so in so much trouble because I always had my Walkman on at the time.
I remember Walkmans.
Hey dude, Walkmans were hella cool back then. I used to get in so much trouble, but that's because I was really antisocial at the time. Well, you know, I come from a third world country, and you know, bombings and all that was so normal for, you know, when I was growing up. Like, terrorist attacks were always happening in Saudi Arabia, always. We lived in a compound, and I was so used to it. So that's why when 9/11 happened, it didn't surprise me at all. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
This is what we went through probably, you know, every couple months.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I mean, I don't think, well, 9/11 happened when I was in college, but you realize, like, there are many places in the world where that just
It's regular. I remember I was in high school, and I remember going to Zero Period and watching it on TV and just thinking like, God, I used to see this all the time. I remember this one terrorist attack that happened in Saudi Arabia. I was making a friendship bracelet, and our air conditioning blew all the way in the house, in the apartment. And it was just a terrorist attack, and it was just so normal.
Wow.
I am glad I don't live there.
Yeah.
I am so happy I made it out. And I'm happy. I'm happy, and I don't know if a lot of people made it out, but I know I did, and I'm hopefully, you know, people can look at the world in a different way instead of, oh, everyone who's lived in the Middle East is a terrorist. Like, yeah. That's not the case. Like, terrorists are such a small percentage, and they terrorize everybody.
Yeah.
They don't give a damn who you are. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
Do you remember which felt scarier to you, Saudi Arabia or Watts, when you were growing up?
You know what? Saudi Arabia was a bit scarier for me because it was so unpredictable and there was no type of, like, the law wasn't on your side, where I felt like in Watts, you know, the very vague memory of LA that as a kid, like, it was a bit more like I could leave. Like, we get in a car and we can leave Watts. We can leave LA. Where when I lived in Saudi Arabia, we lived in a compound. So you're almost trapped in a cage. Yeah, you know, you couldn't really leave. And if you did, you know, you'd get beat. I remember because I was tall for my age, and my mom, I had these shorts on, right? And they went past my knees. So think of my calves area just kind of being out. But I was tall. I was hanging out with my mom, and this guy came with a stick and started hitting my legs and was like, she's not covered up, and da-da-da. My mom literally had to fight him. But that's like...
How old were you?
Must have been 11. Oh, 10. 10 years old. Like, those are the experiences, like, I really remember, because I moved a little shortly after that to California. But those experiences can never, like, amount to, like, you know, just not saying that Watts in LA was a bit easier, but, you know, I could leave LA if I wanted to. My mom could get in a car and we can drive out. Yeah. No problem. Compound living, you can't drive out. There's no, where are you gonna go? Where are you gonna drive to?
Yeah.
The fucking desert. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's nowhere to go. I went to an American school in Saudi Arabia that was connected to the American embassy. So honestly, I could say, like, going to school was probably a happy moment for me because it was an American school. People were like me. We talk English being my first language. You know, we did plays, music, everything. Mm-hmm. But going home was the problem because our compound got... basically took over by Saudis. Mm-hmm. And so they changed basically everything, like etiquette, everything. Like, yeah. So what I thought, oh, I could wear shorts, yeah, wasn't acceptable anymore.
Yeah.
So that was, it was a big clash.
They're like, no more Jordans.
No more Jordans. Take them off.
Put those fives away.
Put the LA gears away.
No British Knights.
Nothing.
What's odd is that hasn't changed that much since you were there.
Probably not. I've never been back. I left for good in 96, I've never looked back, and I don't ever plan on going back. I just, there's probably nothing for me there, you know? Like, I'd gotten too many fights. I was going through a hard time in my life. Like, you know, when you're constantly being told no, you want to do everything to prove a point. And yeah, so it was me, a couple of my friends, like, they were all older. I'm the youngest out of every crew that I ever hung out with. And I always was in trouble. And I just, honestly, I would never go back.
I've never thought of it this way, but as edgy as some people think girl code is, like, imagine people watching it in Saudi Arabia.
Oh my God.
Wait, they can do what?
Yes.
I don't think we're on the, I don't think they're on the distribution.
But can I tell you, like, out there, like, the Saudi women and stuff like that, yo, they got money. They have hella money out there. So, like, a lot of times, like, what you see in the media is, like, them all covered up and having no life. Like, they have a life because they have money. So they just, like, mingle with each other and wear hella gold and silk. And they wild out with each other. So, like, they're wild. Like, they act like they're not, but they're wild.
I've heard the nightlife over there is,
it's like, nuts.
Pretty amazing.
It's nuts. Like, I mean, granted, Saudi Arabia is different than Dubai. Like, yeah, Dubai is, like, a whole, it's like America 5.0, yeah, you know what I mean? But Dubai, you'll see all the rappers out there and R&B singers and whoever out there partying and models and stuff like that. But yeah, it's weird.
And starlets getting paid to, like, sleep with princes.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I thought was happening with Janet Jackson at first. But come to find out, she ended up marrying the billionaire guy. Supposedly, they want to break up.
Jermaine Dupri is a billionaire? Just kidding.
I know, right? When I heard that Jermaine Dupri became Mariah Carey's manager, I was like, what in the fuck is going on? I should manage her. I'm not saying anything's wrong with
JD.
Put
in a word.
Like, but come on.
Are you calling him out right now? On the Guy Code podcast, you're calling out JD?
I think you should maybe manage Mariah Carey's, like, music song selection, but manage her career? Like, come on.
Come on.
Come on, guys. Jay. Ryan and Ryan and Nessa can take care of this. All right, Mariah, we got you.
Wait, you're pulling me into this?
Yeah, we're all right, going to manage Mariah Carey.
So you come back to California.
Tupac dies and was so Tupac devastating. Tupac dies.
Because, you know, Mike Tyson's career is in the shitter.
Hey, man.
Tupac's dead.
Dude, it's bad.
Yeah.
I remember it because I was, I think 10 and a half or something like that. But I remember when Tupac died, he was going to have like an event in L.A. Like he did like a bunch of stuff for the community. And I was like dying to meet him. And, you know, he passed away. It was September 13th, 1996. I'll never forget it. Because it was like I was listening to the radio. At the time, I was listening to Theo. And
Huxtable?
I was listening to Theo, I think, on the beat at the time, and they announced it, and I cried and I hugged the CD player. Thank you very much. It was a CD Iowa. You remember the Iowa brand?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was on the radio, and I remember, and I cried. I went into my mom, and we had to take candles. I mean, it was like a tragedy because it was like Tupac died. Like, what? Yeah. Tupac? There hasn't been a superstar like Tupac since.
That's probably how I felt when Kurt Cobain.
Really?
Died, yeah.
Did you hug your CD player?
I didn't.
Did you put out candles and everything?
No, but I locked myself in my room.
You mourned,
for
man.
For a little while.
Yeah.
You know,
it was
hours.
Tough.
Yeah. I wasn't into hip hop at that time, but shortly after.
Short after. You're like, you know what? Kurt Cobain's gone. I'm going to cross over to hip-hop.
Pick up 36 Chambers.
Then picked up some Wu-Tang.
Some people don't realize how hard like it hit. Tupac's death hit like Southern California.
Oh, yeah. So bad.
I think it was. I mean, it was obviously national news, and it still is like a big event. But Southern California was just.
We were done. We were so done. I remember all the radio stations flipped on, like, and just played all Pac, and like for a long time. I mean, it was not safe for East Coast artists at that time to come out to the West. I mean, it was very clear, hey, don't come out here. I mean, the Bay probably, I would say at that time, I didn't really understand the dynamics because really Pac, his grow up, like I guess where he put in work is really in the Bay. You know, even though he was like born out here, he ran around in Harlem, he moved to Maryland, but the Bay is really where Pac learned how to hustle in his music with like Richie Rich and Autumn, Mac Mall.
Digital Underground.
So the Bay is really like Pac's home. And so from my understanding, it was really tough. Like schools had to get shut down because kids were wilding out. I mean,
that's crazy.
Especially
in
Oakland.
You couldn't imagine being at school and it's like, all right, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they had, like, from my understanding.
It's like a snow day, but
it's like a snow day.
Yeah.
And, like, a bunch of rappers at the time had to go talk to the kids to, like, increase the peace because they knew that it was about to be crazy mayhem. And so then when, you know, Biggie had that song going back to Cali and stuff like that, it was very, for me at that time, offensive, you know? And so, unfortunately, two tragedies happen, and, you know, I don't know. I guess at that time when I was younger, I didn't understand. Like, I didn't, you know, you don't really appreciate life as much.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, well, why would Biggie come out here? Like, you know what's going on. Like, why would you come to California right now? It's like, so, who is your manager? Who gave you this advice?
Even a lot of our audience who listens, who follows hip-hop now, wouldn't understand, like, the rivalry back then. Like, it made big news when Lamar came out and like called out those, you know, the East Coast rappers.
Yeah,
but that was just a rap. I mean, it was nothing. And, you know, it was like it's on Twitter and stuff, but it's not like a big deal.
Dude,
like,
this
it was
bad.
It was like Diddy and Snoop and like
this
Suge
is
Knight. Basically the soap opera.
Dude, you will never ever, I truly believe in all of music history and music's future, we will never see anything like that because everything's so censored now. Everybody's so, you know, there's too many pansies in the industry that they're scared to take it to that next level.
Who do you think a pansy is? We're going to start this rivalry right now.
There's so many pansies out
there.
Let me think of a name who's a pansy. Who's a pansy out there? I think that, let me think of pansies. I mean, I think like, you know, the Jonas Brothers are pansies. You know what I mean?
They're not even
shots fired.
Shots fired.
Yeah, I'm calling you bastards out. You know, like, it's just different now. Yeah. I mean, even the way music is and the videos. I just, like, when Pac was doing it. Dude, just think about it. At the award ceremony, Snoop is out on the East Coast calling out Biggie and all them.
Yeah.
East Coast ain't got love for Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. Well, let it be known then. You're like, oh my God, this is nuts. And now Snoop Dogg's like, you know, a Marley reincarnated. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
I don't know so much about it.
But, you know, like, he's in a different zone. I get it. He's probably, what, 41, 42. So it's a different, like, yeah. You know, state of mind where
he's
when
a
they
dad,
were.
He has like a Pop Warner football.
Yeah, like, what can Snoop do? He can't gangbang at this age. Nah. It's stupid. Like, you know what I mean?
Make but too much money for that.
Too much money to be doing that. And so, like, Pac, you know, everything that he's done, he was only, what, 25? Isn't that crazy? That's nuts to me. Like, just think about it. He died at 25. 25.
That's crazy. I forget that he was
dying. He just turned 25 in June.
Wow.
Just think about that.
I don't want to think about
his output was just crazy.
It's crazy, like, because you know what? Internationally, because I lived, obviously, in Saudi Arabia, Pac's, you know, and it's not to take away from Biggie or anything. It's just Pac was more relatable on an international level because of what he talked about as far as revolution. Where Biggie, when he talked about drugs, Dope Boy, and Lobster, and it just something I couldn't relate to.
Yeah.
Like, most people in the world, because, you know, sometimes we get caught up at that, only in America is what matters, you know, but it's not. It's past New York. It's past everything. Like, look at the world.
That's the only thing that matters. That's pretty much.
And it's so funny because all New Yorkers say that. They're like, well, no. And I'm like, no, but really, like, the world is so much bigger and they have like half the resources that we have in America. So they're, you know, they're going to relate to Pac more just off the strength of what he's talking about, you know?
Look, we all know that you love Tupac, right?
I know. I'm like Tupac's spokesperson.
I want to know, when did you start in radio? What was that?
Oh, man. I used to call the radio.
You've been doing it
I've been doing it for a while.
Is that what you went to school for?
No, I did. I went for mass comm and political science. So I was supposed to actually be a lawyer. And I just didn't like the thought of.
It's not too late.
It's never too late. You know, the money probably is better than radio, but, you know, I wouldn't have been happy. I don't ever see myself defending anyone that I just don't believe is good. I'm a firm believer in just standing up for what's right. And I just don't think lawyers could do that all the time.
Yeah.
I think eventually you got to defend a douchebag. And I don't have that in me. But I started in radio because I've always loved radio. I loved listening to it. And I started when I moved to UC, to the Bay. I started at UC Berkeley, and I started as an intern at the radio station that I'm at now, Wild 94.9, which is, you know, San Francisco Market 4. I worked from the bottom up, flyering, bannering, call-ins, like, hey, what's up? Meet me right here on the corner of blah, blah, blah. I got your tickets to go see blah, blah, blah. All right, first five people, I'm going to get you hooked up right now, okay? It's your girl, Ness Nitty with the Nitty Gritty. I'm in your city, and I'm out. And that was my slogan. Thank you very much.
See, if I were you, I would have refused to flyer and do all that shit and just be like, I'm a host.
Yes.
Put me on right now. I am not working my way up.
I was willing to do anything. I did anything. I did double, triple shifts. I was going to UC Berkeley at the time, taking 22 units. Slept in my car half the time. But, you know, I wouldn't regret it. I wonder if I would have lived out my car because I did that for 6 months because I was also interning at Power 106 in LA at the same time.
What do you mean by living? I've heard these stories, but
I was living out my car because, okay,
what does that mean exactly?
So being in the Bay Area, I just finished college, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't have a real job. You know, I'm driving vans. I'm getting minimum wage. It's not enough to get a place in the Bay Area. The Bay Area is stupid expensive, right? But I also had an opportunity to go answer phones in Southern California inside the Power 106 studios for the night show. So I was like, all right, well, since I'm just driving vans in the Bay, what I'll do is I'll go Monday through Thursday, answer phones in LA, and then Thursday night going into Friday morning, I'll drive back to the Bay and I'll do my live report. Because at that time I did a 1 minute report called the Baydestrian Report. And my boss at that time would never let me go live. He was like, no, it's going to be pre-recorded. So I used to pre-record everything in LA and send it back up. Then he said, once I started working in LA, he goes, well, now you could go live. So if you really want to do it, you'll come up here on Fridays and do it. So that's what I did. I would drive Thursday night going into Friday morning, go to the Bay. I would do my 1 minute report live, take a little nappy poo, drive vans. And then Saturday, drive vans. And then I would drive Sunday afternoon back to LA. So obviously, it's not enough money. Like, I'm not getting money. I couldn't afford a place at the time. So I told my brother just to lie for me if my parents asked if I lived with them. And, you know, I lived out in my car. I just got a 2006 RAV4.
Yeah. Off-road 2000, machine.
2007 or something. 2006. One of them. But I got it and I slept out of it for 6 months. And I used the 24-hour fitness on I think it's Brandon in LA off the 134 down the street from Power 106 Studios. And I used to shower there in the morning.
So funny story. So when people say you got to pay your dues, that would be
yes
one example.
One.
And live I out remember your car for a while.
Of dues.
I remember doing that for 6 months. And you know what's so funny, Ryan? You know, you do know, but I'm just saying, like, I hosted the Real World, you know, Explosion mm-hmm. after show. And where the studio is down the street from the 24-hour fitness. And wow. I took a picture of it. I have it in my phone. And I literally get chills every time I go by there. Because, like, I literally slept around the corner in this area. And it's crazy how everything comes full circle. And this just happened, like, a few weeks ago. Yeah. I started, like, I got teary-eyed. I just, like, it was a lot to take in. I just was like, what the fuck? I can't believe. It's just, I used to be fucking homeless here. And now, like, I'm going down the street to the studio to host, you know, an after show. This is nuts.
Are the showers, do they still work pretty well?
You know, I haven't been fitness? I have not.
You didn't go in after all that?
I couldn't do it.
You should have gone in.
That one, I can't do. That one brings a lot of, like, tough memories for me. And
that's incredible.
My body shut down after 6 months, literally. Like, I got dehydrated. I was in the hospital because I was living off Red Bulls and dried ramen, you know, and it's better than doing drugs and cocaine like all the other truckers that I saw driving.
You never know until you try. Never know until you try.
So I'm just happy, and then I bounced from that, and then, you know, doors open. I did weekends at another smaller station. I left Wild at that time, and then I went back to Wild. I did overnight, which is basically midnight to 6 a.m. and then I got my first night show in Phoenix, which was 6 to 10 p.m. And then I got let go off budget cuts, which really wasn't budget cuts. It was more because, like, the new management didn't like me because I was a girl doing a night show, which is not the standard norm. Mm-hmm. And so then I went back to the Bay and I started back again all over, and we did it again. But this time around, the new program director came in, who's currently my program director, Kat, who, like, just believed in me, and shit, we've been making history ever since. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
When one door closes, I promise you another one opens.
So you went to Berkeley and then you started doing this. Did your parents just freak out?
Totally. They didn't understand what the fuck I was doing. They were like, you could go. I had, like, scholarships to go and pursue law.
Yeah.
And even if I didn't want to do law, there was, like, a PhD program that was trying to recruit me. And so when I turned all that down, my parents didn't understand. My parents still don't understand what I do. They don't understand radio. They don't understand TV. They're like,
do they watch any of your shows?
I think they do, but they don't tell me. And I think they don't want to talk about what I talk about because it's so explicit. And it's ridiculous, like, what I talk about. My mom is crazy. My mom is nuts. And so, you know, maybe one day they'll see, like, what I really do. But they really are nuts to me. Like, they don't know what I do. Like, if you ask them, oh, what does your daughter do? Oh, she's broadcaster on the radio and TV. That's it. They don't know anything else, which is great. I don't ever want them to look at my Instagram and Twitter, which is scary. I used to be on Facebook, and the minute I saw my mom and dad sign on, I was like, man, fuck this. I just can't do this anymore. I got off Facebook. I deleted all my hoochie ass pictures.
No more selfies.
No more selfies.
Can't
in
look
the
back
bathroom.
At it in the mirror anymore.
No, look back at it.
Moms don't like it when you look back
no,
at it.
No, they don't. Moms don't like looking back at it selfies. No, they're my mom. Can I tell you, I was wearing a bathing suit. This is not that. Like, this past summer, I was with my best friend Katrina, and my mom's like, Nissa, your boobs. And I was like, what about them? She's like, you know, put shirt on. I was like, Mom, it's a fucking bathing suit. I'm going to the pool. Nissa, oh, these boys. What? But I know what she means by that. That means, Nessa, boys are going to want to have sex with you. But hers are incomplete.
That's the idea, Mom.
Yeah, like, Mom. And she's like, Nissa, don't let them touch your shatuta and batuta. That's her that's her nickname for vagina. And don't let them touch your shatuta and batuta. Since I was a kid, that's what she used to say to me. Don't let them touch your shatuta and batuta.
All about that shatuta.
So funny.
The fact that you work so hard, you must have just like no patience for broke guys and
none,
and like guys with no ambition.
You know what? I feel like
you have plenty of patience.
You know what? Ryan is right.
I'm just gonna sabotage you.
Yeah, no, you know what?
Throw that right in.
I always thought that I wouldn't want to be with anyone who needed help or anything like that. Then I realized that's the only kind of guys that I attract. But now I learned to be with like a strong guy versus like a guy who thinks he's strong. There's like a big difference. Like the thinkers and the talkers versus like the really strong, you know, men.
What part of you was attracting these losers then?
You know what it is? Cause Jordan's and good cologne attracted me to them. You know, and it wasn't even money.
Curve is not a good cologne.
All right. Hey, it's just Curve is so high school for me. Oh my God. I remember Curve. Dude, everyone had Curve. And I don't know.
Quick
I just
moment to shout out to our sponsors, X Body Spray.
Yes.
Nessa loves you.
I do. And I don't know, man. I think guys, I never wanted to be a materialistic girl. So I never wanted to date a guy with money. I know it sounds weird. I just wanted real love. I just wanted someone who's going to be down for me during like hard times. So I just, you know, whatever. Now I learned that I don't have to date a broke guy to have a guy who's going to be down for me.
But there's nothing wrong with being broke. I mean, the fact is most people are broke. And I mean, at some point.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, what did you experience? I guess
it's more the lack of ambition. If the lack of ambition. They don't have anything going for it. If they're broke with like no real ambition, then like, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Like, I think I had a lot of fun when I was broke. Two or three years.
For sure.
But I don't know, what would you say to guys that are broke and like what not to do, I guess?
You know what? I think what it comes down to is a lack of ambition. Like, I don't mind you being broke right now because you're working towards something. And don't tell me you're going to be a rapper. No one cares. Like, I don't believe you. And even if you are a rapper trying to make it, like, fuck you. I don't like your kind. And, you know, I just think that if a man wants to just make his dreams come true, I think that's the sexiest thing ever. It's not even about money. It's just about working hard, staying dedicated, and consistency. Mm-hmm. I've learned that. Like, greatness is about being consistent. And I didn't understand that before.
I think it's easy when you're broke, too. Well, let me start over. I think it doesn't.
Hold on.
No, I think it's an easy excuse. It's easy to make excuses when you're broke.
Yeah.
That never changes. Like, you can still make those same excuses on any income level. I just think,
like, excuses to treat you how you treat like, your girls, or what are you talking about?
You know, if I had money, I'd do this.
Oh yeah, if I had are the best.
You almost like hide behind being broke, but I just think that's in you.
Exactly.
This is who you are.
And I think that's the problem. Like, and I think girls, we feel guilty that, okay, I don't want to not talk to him because he doesn't have really money. But at a certain point, you got to take care of yourself. And it's not about him spoiling you. It's about him bringing something to the table.
Yeah.
So if it's emotional support, great. Be with a broke guy who has dreams and ambition, and hopefully he'll make it one day. Mm-hmm. And he won't leave you for, you know, a model chick, because that's usually what ends up happening. And you'll waste your time and years on him, and then you'll be an old bitch. And you know how society looks at old bitches.
I've left so many girls for models.
I know. Ryan,
it's crazy.
That's why I'm telling you guys, watch out. Ryan's a heartbreaker. But
every time you get
problem.
A new show, do you call your ex-girlfriends and be like, bitches!
I just go to Instagram and just Photoshop myself next to people. No, on the other end of the spectrum are rich guys. And I think when you're 23, when you're a young dude, and even now, it's like, oh, I got to be rich. Because that's what girls want. I'm going to get that. I mean, how do you feel about that? Like, you're not out to find, you're not a gold digger.
No, I think
there's probably a misconception with that too.
Yeah, guys are confused on what real women want. Like, if you're talking about gold diggers, yes, it doesn't matter how old you are, where you are in life, they just want money. But if you're talking about a solid woman, she does not want all of your money. She wants some of your money, but and some of your money on nice
things. She wants
you
to have
things.
Abs.
Yeah, she just you kidding. Know, she rather you, you know, have incredible sex instead of versus, you know, buying lobster and shrimp. But I mean, I've met the richest people with the poorest souls. Mm-hmm. And I I can't stress that enough. Like, I don't care how much money you have. If you have a poor soul, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Because that's, like, the worst. Someone with money and a poor soul? Mm-hmm. So now they're going to spend all their money trying to fulfill that poor-ass soul when it comes from, you know, whatever background that they come from. But now they're spending money on bullshit that will never fulfill them. Because money doesn't fulfill your soul.
How do you feel about Ryan and I's souls?
Well, by judging your sweater with the pink hate written on it and, you know, looking at Ryan's denim cool jacket kind of cardigan, I feel that you guys.
Denim cardigan.
Yeah, I think you guys are pretty cool, decent guys, down to earth, know what you guys are about. Great at questions. I think you guys are doing a great job.
I think you do a great job of just saying words. Hey. Because that didn't really mean anything.
But guys are, you know, I just think that guys who have a lot of money that don't know what to do with it is a waste.
Yeah.
They just don't get it. It's not about the diamond this and diamond that. Like, I don't care. If you can't be there for me in my darkest moment when I don't have any phone calls and, you know, radio isn't going well, TV isn't going well, then why are we even together?
We talked a lot about what guys should and shouldn't do with money and all that. But in general, what do you think? Where do guys go wrong with relationships?
Guys go wrong in
and I know we only have a limited amount of time.
Yeah, I know. Guys go
and
wrong.
Go. And go.
Guys go wrong in relationships when they try to please everybody and they try to, I believe, overthink or not think, which is weird because they will overthink to not think. It's possible.
My mind's going to explode.
Exactly.
I don't know
what guys.
You mean please everyone? Like please their friends as well as the girl?
Yes.
Like the.
And then all of a sudden they don't care about anything. And I think that guys just need to realize, just take a step back and realize a woman just wants to be loved. All she wants to do is feel confident and secure and stable. If you give her that feeling, whether it's emotionally and as well like financially by doing nice things like surprising her and taking her to get like her favorite dish. It doesn't have to be something expensive, but it's about being thoughtful.
How do guys surprise you?
If a guy could bring me some ramen from my favorite place in Berkeley and just brought it to the studio, I'd be the happiest person. And so, it's stuff like that.
You mean like real ramen, not like...
No, like real ramen, not like from the store. Like my favorite place to eat is at Bear Ramen House in Berkeley, which is like a secret place that they only take cash. It's the best place in Berkeley. But it's like the thoughtful things, like money can't buy you, you know, thoughtful things. Like mm-hmm. do that. And I think guys mess up also when they do have a lot of money that they think that they can give you things to, I guess, fulfill the emotional needs. But
it's like, here, happy now.
Here's, you know, this necklace that cost however much money. But that girl is still going to go bang the guy that's emotionally there for her.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes. Because, you know, sex feels better when you are emotionally involved. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure if you're a gold digging hoe, money gives you, you know, orgasms. But, you know, for a
also
solid
at least great herpes fake medication, ones. Too.
Yeah, herpes on occasion. For me, it's like, I think if guys... Herpes and money. I think that if guys just...
My new mixtape coming out.
Herpes.
And dropping. See Nessa.
Is dropping out during the herpes summertime. Something for the hoes. I think
sorry, I'm going to stop interrupting you.
It's okay. That's what guys like to do. They like to interrupt. I'm kidding.
I'm a guy. I love interrupting.
Maybe because you're talking too much.
Yeah, but that's when I'm a girl.
I need attention. I'm also a guy.
See, and girls love it when guys talk. Like, we want to know about your day. We want to know, like, how your friends are and stuff like that. We just want to be with our best friend.
Where do girls go wrong, though? Because I'm sure I know the answer, but...
Girls go wrong by overthinking shit, straight up. Like, we overthink and we overdo. I have this
that's
problem.
That's in your genes, though. It's genetics.
It's genetics, man. Like, I overdo things. Like, you know, I could hear a guy saying, hey, calm down. Like, it's okay. We cannot be together every second. Where girls are like, no, let's hang out, like, every second. I love it. Because I don't look at my boyfriend as, like, a task. I look at him as, like, my best friend. Mm-hmm. Where guys, they need space. Girls, we don't understand this fucking concept. We think space means you don't like me. Oh, you want space? Oh, you want to break up with me? Who are you having sex with? That's how we, you know, translate space. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest fault.
I mean, if a guy says he needs space and that's after 5 days of not talking to you. I figured my deal.
It's too much space.
Yeah, that's too much space, and he probably is fucking that girl that he said is just his friend. But yeah. I think for the most part, we overthink things.
I can't wait to see more of you on the Real World Explosion.
I know. I'm excited, man. I love this season. I love the fact that the exes move in. That's terrible. Like, no one wants to see their damn ex. I mean, unless they have incredible sex game. But even then, an ex is an ex for a reason.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you, guys. Follow Ryan and Ryan.
It's just at Nessa, right?
Yeah. Well, it's at Ness Nitty. Kept the
nitty gritty.
I did keep the Ness Nitty with the nitty gritty. But it is Ness Nitty, NessNitty on Twitter, Instagram, all that.
Cool. Follow Ryan at Ryan_Ling. Follow me at the Ryan McKee. Thanks, see you guys soon.
Adios. Bye, guys. Chatuta batuta.